Welcome, listeners, back to another arc of fictional heroism. This one has actually been in planning for a long time, at least over a year, as we mentioned in the episode, but it has some fun guests with us, as we have Andrew from Thornvale, Jason from Meester of the Week, Mr. Ray from $2 Creature Feature, and Brian along for the ride. The name of the game is Five Nights at Goodman's, and we hope you enjoy the show. Our promo for this week is for $2 Creature Feature. It's a fun Monster of the Week game that following a traveling circus that ended their first season a little bit ago, and it just started releasing their new campaign with their second season, so check them out.
Hey, this is Mr. Ray, and this is $2 Creature Feature. We're a Monster of the Week actual play podcast set at Severus Savardi's Traveling Fun Fair, a carnival in the 1960s. We follow the adventures of Dor.
Dora's going to first check to make sure that her army jacket, which is tied around her waist as usual, is fully covering her gun.
Oh yeah, you take your gun out with you.
Nemo.
No, stop it, stop it. I'm not edible for you. I'm basically a corpse as well, just a cleaner one.
And Sybil.
So imagine an ethereal tentacle sprouting from the middle of your forehead, and on the tip of that is an eye. And it's nothing like that, but it helps you.
Sybil, if it's okay with you, I think maybe I won't imagine that.
They solve mysteries and hunt monsters. We're released bi-weekly on Fridays on your preferred podcast host. And remember, if you see something, slay something.
And now, on to the show. Greeting, listeners, to Session Zero and technically the playing session for the fictional heroism arc, Five Nights at Goodman's.
Yes!
Woo!
This is what editing's for.
You were worried about you being out of it, Jason.
Yeah, a friend of mine is like, why do you spend so much time editing? Why don't you just, like, record and upload? And I'm like, ha 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 ha. That's not how that works.
Yeah.
If only we could all do it in one take.
You want to listen to me Google something for 30 minutes. That's how you get that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, we're all not Clint Eastwood who can do things in one take, okay?
Yeah.
I don't think Clint Eastwood can do things in one take. I think he chooses to do things in one take. And people don't want to pay him more money to do it twice.
You may recognize some of the voices on this episode, along with one newcomer who's been waiting for this game for a very long time, as we realized earlier today that it's been over 1 year since we originally planned to do this. And I think we've gone through like five potential players in that time.
Something like that.
Truly a cursed cast.
Yeah.
By the end of this game, one of us will die.
Oh, Well, it can't be me because I've been here the whole time, right? Something like that.
It can't be me because my character is already dead.
Oh, no. I'm an angel.
I'm sorry, Brian. You are the comedy relief. They're usually the ones that die first in a horror movie.
Now, if we're going by Cabin in the Woods logic, I'm the one who lives by the end.
Why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
I'd like to go first.
Not me.
I can go first.
Yay.
And this is like real person introductions, not character introductions, right?
Yeah, this is real person introductions.
Okay, cool. Hi, I am Andrew Lewis. I am one of the players on the Thornvale podcast, which is run by my wife, Susanna. And I play the character Bjorn, a Dragon Knight monster hunter. So I am not new to the system. I am an old pan, so to say.
Hi there. My name's Jason, he, him. And I am the keeper for Meemster of the Week. So I do a lot of things with Monster of the Week. I'm very excited to be here playing the game today.
Hi, everyone. It's Brian. My pronouns are him, and I'm going to be playing Raj.
Brian, it's just the real people.
God dang it. I already spaced it.
It's all good.
It's all good.
All those years at the academy. Wasted.
James, my ancestor.
Don't you get it? Don't you see the hat? I'm Mrs. Nesbitt!
Okay, but that is a, like, fantastic bit.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Yeah, I love that.
Okay, redoing it real quick. Hi, everyone. My name's it's Brian, and pronouns he, him, and probably heard me from a couple other shows in the past. You know, Bathtub Brisket, and actually the one with Mr. Ray here. Which one was that again? That was...
Adventures in Babysitting.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
That was a fantastic game. Now I cannot wait to actually get to play with you, prom.
There's going to be... Okay, this is probably going to be edited out, but there's going to be a sequel coming up before the end of the year to it. And it's holiday themed. It's a holiday heist.
There you go. Is it Jingle All the Way?
It's kind of going to be open because I was thinking, like, you know, I could do it like, you know, you're just heisting at a mall. Or I was like, you know, you could be Die Hard, except there's just one normal cop who's like trying to get into your building and you're having to stop him.
I love it.
Yeah.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
Jingle All the Way sounds great too. Yeah, you're trying to steal toys from Sinbad.
Yeah. Who doesn't want to do that?
Right?
Arnold Schwarzenegger punches out a deer. It's a fucking Christmas classic.
It's Conan, but in the suburbs.
Yeah. Love it.
I'm sorry, I think I interrupted your intro.
Oh no, I was actually all done. Oh, okay. I was actually segueing for you.
Don't worry.
Oh, awesome.
Don't worry, we can cut it.
All right. I am Mr. Ray, he, him, and I am the keeper for $2 Creature Feature, another Monster of the Week podcast, and I'm also heavily involved in the Monster of the Week expanded universe with role players. I had to think about the name there for a second. So I am very well versed with this game, and I am super excited to be playing with you all.
I think this is the first time I've keepered for any of you guys.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, first time for me.
Yeah, for Monster of the Week, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, as far as Monster of the Week, yeah.
Well, how do we want to start Session 0?
Pressure's on, Sean.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to give you guys a spiel of the people you're working for, and then I think we go into characters, maybe figure out connections, and then from there we'll go into the code open and then figure out who's driving you into the city. Okay.
Who do we work for?
You guys are working for the library. The agency in charge of dealing with the incursions of fiction into reality, which is where the name of this segment comes from, in that reality, the narrative, is magic. It literally is magic in this world. And fictional creatures have been coming out and causing havoc. Some have been not so much causing havoc. Other people have been infected by the narrative and become creatures themselves, that kind of thing. The library is essentially what the organization would be for initiative for Monster of the Week. They kind of have a problem. It seems if you abuse the narrative enough, you're going to have the narrative snap back, which is part of the reason you guys may have noticed in your working with these people that it's actually ran by mostly teenagers and 20-year-olds, despite many of them mentioning things that have happened like decades ago. Because... the thing is, they've had to start recruiting the people that they're also helping, trying to help and deal with, because they keep on getting rebooted.
So it's kind of like a Crisis on Infinite Earths thing. It's time to do the new 52 version of the narrative.
Kind of, actually, yeah. That's one of those things I'm designed the universe in, that if anyone ever wanted to, theoretically, you could play your character from another... Like that's what I was talking about when the Keeper Retreat, is that you could play your character from another podcast. It would just be that character popping into reality.
Sick. That makes sense. That's cool.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that.
I like it. I love it.
And then let's start getting down to character, I think. How do we want to start this?
I have to still look something up for my character, so I might need just a little bit of time.
Okay.
My sheet that I built it on doesn't have the connections, so I'm just trying to pull them up.
Okay.
Yeah, and Ray, you still need to build a character too, don't you?
No, my character's done.
Oh, see, there you go. A constant.
I literally did it as we were doing our vocal warm-ups.
There
you go. All right.
But yeah, I can introduce my character if you all want.
Figure we introduce the characters, then we'll work on connections, because then you guys get an idea of what you're dealing with and who you're dealing with.
Yeah, I mean, then we're kind of like just going reverse order of how we did our intros. So the character I'm going to be playing is Bud Avery. He, him, and Bud Avery is the monstrous. He's a ghost. He died. I haven't figured out quite yet how he died. I figured we'd get into that later. But yeah, he's a ghost. And, you know, he's charming and he's weird. That's pretty much my bag. But yeah, he's the rootin' tootin', wholesome good old boy. In the good way, not the problematic way. But yeah, he wears flannel and trucker hats and like shooting stuff. Nice. He's got a tattoo on his left arm of the Earnhardt 8.
There you go.
Yeah.
Best race car driver that's ever lived, Dale Earnhardt.
Oh, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
Because let me introduce you all to... Let me get in the character real quick. Well, hello there, sons. My name is Ray. I'm a divine angel of vengeance. Now, you see, I came from heaven, but I had a little spat with the Lord, and he kicked me down from here. You know, just cut off my wings made my life just a little bit hard. But after a few centuries of trying to do good, I've just been working my way out. Just gotta hide away from the angels and a few demons I've pissed off in the past. Now, I like to wear these zoot suits that one of my good friends here on this planet has shown me a show. He told me to dress like from Tex Avery.
I love it.
Foghorn Leghorn, is that you?
I love it.
Now you gotta understand, son, I do have my divine weapon here. It's a flaming sword, but to keep things nice, I always like to keep it concealed in a nice little lighter that says Yahweh.
Nice.
Yahweh.
I like it.
Did you get that from Burger King? Is that one of them special edition lighters? You can have it all way.
Oh my god. Please have him say this to Rat Game.
I genuinely need to know, Ray, do you personally not know what the word Yahweh is and the significance of it?
I am very well aware of what Yahweh is.
Okay, because okay. I was like, I'm pretty sure that you were like raised in a fairly like conservative Christian background and you probably know what that is. But I needed to know.
I grew up in small town Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've met.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
That's funny.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yes.
Okay, sorry. My recording is looking weird.
It's all good.
Yeah.
All right, well, I guess it's my turn. Today I am playing Alexander Bishop, and he is the Demonic playbook, which is a custom playbook.
Nice.
From one of our good friends in the Crit Show Discord. Alexander is a well-dressed Aleister Crowley kind of guy, very prim and proper, and always willing to cut the deal. So he's a very charming guy who likes to see how he can twist the situation to his advantage, and so we'll see what he gets up to.
I'm getting some very Good Omens vibes from the last two characters.
Yeah, that's what we figured out last night.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Jason, Ray, what were your character's name again? I just want to write them down. Just on, like...
My character's name?
Yeah.
Alexander Bishop.
And Ray, what's yours again?
Bud Avery.
Got it.
All right. Oh, we're going to have problems with that voice because every time I do it, somebody just starts cracking up. Yeah, my mama named me after the thing my dad spilled on me as I was being born.
It's my go, right?
Yep.
All right, cool. So, to introduce my character, I actually have to introduce a cast of characters because my playbook let me pick a bunch of things, so I kind of need to talk through it. I think you guys will be able to figure out what I'm going for, what I'm basing this off of, probably pretty quickly, but we'll see. So, my character's name is Wiley Meowser, and it is a cel-shaded cartoon cat that is one of those creatures from the narrative that is working for the library. He has one of the moves that I picked is a crew. I have a crew.
Oh, God.
Of friends. I'm the crooked. So I have a rhinoceros named Larry, who is my friend. He drives my getaway van around, and he is the muscle. I have a female frog named Mercedes, who is the brains of the operation. And I think I had one more. Let me look at my character sheet again. And my last friend here is... Actually, I only picked two, because you know what? That's all I need. And I also have some enemies as the Crooked. One of them is Margarita, a female wolf, who is an Interpol detective that likes to try and catch me and try and put me away. Oh. And I've got like a family enemy named Steamwork. He is a cyborg falcon that wants to kill off my entire family. Oh, and then I also had to pick somebody that I learned about the real kind of underworld from, and I chose Sage, who is a wombat sorcerer from the Australian Outback. So... Like I said, a cast of characters, but if you didn't catch it in there, my playbook is the Crooked. I am a criminal from some, you know, fictional universe, and I came into existence, kind of learned about the library, and my skills at kind of breaking and entering were deemed pretty useful, and they kind of recruited me, so I kind of turned over to the good guys. You know, I was kind of a Robin Hood kind of style character. I stole from people, but it was usually to give to people who needed it more, so kind of a good guy crook.
You sound like you're, like, from a very obscure, like, Hanna-Barbera, like, 60s and 70s cartoon.
Something like that.
What's Rhino's name again, Andrew?
It is the hint I'll give you and the audience is it's a video game character.
I knew it. I knew it was Sly. Yeah,
yep.
I knew it. I knew it this whole time. I'm like, he's going with Sly. He's going, he's doing.
Yep. Yep, that's what I'm going for.
Nice.
So, yeah, that is my character. It. Oh, I didn't say it. He's an orange boy. He is a cartoon orange boy, so...
There you go.
Just for the listeners, that's what he looks like.
Okay. And what was the rhino's name again, Andrew?
Larry.
Larry, okay, got it.
Yeah, sorry for all of the new characters that you now have to deal with.
This will make it more interesting. Now you've actually given me the sunset.
Yeah. Yeah, Larry and Mercedes are the important ones that are going to be with me the whole time, but then, or at least, like, able to be called on, but then the other two are just kind of, like, enemies in the background who I'm sure will show up at some point based on what you want to do. We'll see.
Okay, so I think we are moving on to how you guys met each other. How are your connections? I know some of you guys had some ideas already.
You know what? I actually, after hearing our last description, I think I have everyone figured out.
Yeah?
So for Mr. Bud Avery, you saved my life. And I understand that I owe you for it, but I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. Because, now you see, son, I feel like that you're just making fun of the way I talk. And Mr. Alexander Bishop, I've known him since he was a little dude. I thought of myself as his guardian angel. I don't know he's gone demonic, because he's the person I go to for advice on mortal stuff. And that's why I dress in the Tex Avery style. And I look like the wolf from the old Tex Avery cartoons. And finally, our cel-shaded cartoon cat. I am protecting you, because you have a crucial role in what is to come. I'm here to guide you.
Nice.
And I regret every second of this. Like, literally, when I found this out, I was just, really now?
Yeah.
Him?
Come on, seriously? Yeah.
Him?
This cartoon cat is important?
All right, now. And those are my connections.
All right.
Yeah, we established for the demonic that you knew me before I became a demon. I think with Mr. Avery,
yeah,
maybe I have an outstanding demonic pact with them.
I love it.
Yeah. So, what did I give you?
What'd you trade me for the ability to eat and drink again?
Ooh.
Because honestly, that's the worst part of being a ghost. Like, it's not like Casper where you eat something every day and it just falls through you. Like, It just goes right through my head. So,
Yeah, giving you the ability to, like, digest.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you can digest now.
Yeah, and for that, I will give you my Ken Griffey Jr. card.
Ken Griffey Jr.
He had a whole card sheet page filled with them. He opened up a pack, and it was just all Ken Griffey Jr. Cards.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how I can, like, twist this to my advantage, actually.
Well, I mean, they're pretty worthwhile, I hear. I mean, you just got to get on that that internets and find out what's going on with that.
Yeah, genuinely, how much...
It's an easy way to get a soul of a child.
Oh no, Raj just comes over and goes, now, why do you got so many of them paper parchments with bloody thumbprints now? Are you a blood splatter analysis now, Alexander?
That is like a $250 Upper Deck playing card.
I can't believe I said that out loud.
I did just look that up. Yeah, I can't think of anything right now. Sure, I'll take your playing card.
Awesome.
I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Playing card. That is a baseball card, sir. That is the American tradition put into cardboard format. Show it some goddamn respect.
Other gear. Ken Griffey Jr. baseball card.
I've pushed myself into a corner. Now I have to like look up famous baseball players to talk about my cards.
You do have to be knowledgeable about baseball now, and that is a character flaw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
There you go.
Maybe you actually name different athletes from different sports.
Yeah.
I mean, Michael Jordan still works, baby.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
He still plays. You got three sports in one.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Raj just doesn't know the shooty hoops, so he'll believe anything Bud says.
Yeah.
I really love the idea that Raj knows Michael Jordan not as a basketball player, but like from his golfing career.
Yeah, that's something different than basketball.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
He watches Space Jam, he's like, you know, I really like the cut of that giant chicken's jib, you know? Yeah. He sounds very familiar now.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
So did we get through all of your connections? I forgot to write down player names. What was the demon's name again?
Alexander.
Okay, did we get out through all yours, or are you still doing connections?
I should. The thing is that I can't see a history that would relate to a cartoon cat.
I actually have one for you. If you don't want to have one for me, I actually have one the other way.
Yeah, that's
if you want to do that.
That's fine. I think traditionally histories are pick two anyway. So
yeah. One of mine is this hunter worked with you on a semi-legal or illegal job. Work out what it was.
There we go.
I feel like out of the three of you, you'd be the one that would probably help me do something illegal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because even though I came here and started working for the library, I probably still try to steal stuff all the time.
Yeah.
So maybe you needed help stealing something, and I offered my services to help steal it, and then I got some like collateral stealing done, you know, while we were in there stealing whatever it was you needed. So
I had to steal like an enchanted necklace from a very specific person's vault.
Okay.
And I needed a very special set of skills to assist me in doing that. And so since you're a cartoon,
all right, yeah, so that I
figured that you could probably accomplish that very well, and while you were there, maybe you picked up a little something extra.
One of my playbook options that I chose was I have a magical amulet, which is like a horseshoe amulet.
There you go.
And it gives me +1 armor rechargeable, so I assume like I use it, I don't have one armor for a while, and then it comes back later. So I found that as well while I was in there, took it for myself, and then I also got your enchanted amulet.
Yeah, they were next to each other, and when you got out, we had to like figure out like, oh wait, which
one is which?
That's good. I like that.
You guys had to steal it from the secret president's vault, guarded by the irradiated giant that used to be Andrew Carve. Who's the peanut guy? Peanut president?
George Washington Carver.
George Washington.
Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter.
The peanut president. The minute you said that, I knew what you were talking about. The man who said he had to fight a man-eating rabbit.
Yeah, that's funny.
Not Jimmy Carter. George Washington Carver. A very different person.
Yeah. I like it.
He's just a giant monster peanut underneath the White House.
There you go. Protected by the stonemasons and the Proud Family.
I love it.
Yeah. I think one other one that I could have is, you said that you were like, I was like important and you were here to guide and protect me. So I was thinking that I have another one that says, this hunter is your moral compass. When you talk over things with them, their advice keeps you on the straight and narrow. So, like I kind of alluded to, my character's like a thief, but he tries to steal for good reasons. So maybe you try and help keep me a little bit on the up and up, even though it doesn't always work and I still steal stuff. So
two of us have chosen the demon for advice.
Well, no. Gosh, I'm terrible with names. I need to write these down.
Raj.
What was the angel's name? Raj, right. So Raj, no, Raj, you're my moral compass.
Oh, okay, thank you. I was like, wait a minute.
For him, I chose that we worked on an illegal job together, so.
Oh, okay. No. I was just mixing it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. You guys went on that amazing heist.
He came to the demon for help, and he goes to the fallen angel for advice, which is almost the same.
Almost the same thing. Almost the same thing.
Still just as bad.
Yeah.
And every time you leave Raj on his advice, he just looks up the sky again and just goes, really?
Yeah, really.
Him.
He's the important one. I like it.
I'm not giving him this sword.
I don't need a sword.
All right.
Steal it anyway.
All right, so how do I know this cartoon cat?
You watched the cartoon.
Let's see here.
You watched that cartoon. You're the only one that lived a normal life at any point.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to watch the
cartoon. Yeah.
I'm your biggest fan.
Yeah. Yeah. Instead of it being a video game like it is in our world, it was just a cartoon serial that was running. And I came to life out of the cartoon. And you used to watch me growing up. Like you said, it was like kind of a Hanna-Barbera style cartoon.
I love it.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I used to watch you all the time whenever I was drinking my sippy cup of Coke.
Oh, no. Andrew, you've given me a horrible idea.
I have?
Yes. Wiley's going to hate this place.
Say it again?
Wiley's going to hate this place.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that won't be good. Andrew likes it. I like that Wiley's not going to like it. That's going to be fun. But Wiley's not going to like it, it sounds like.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I think that kind of like gives me something for everybody.
Yeah.
Because I think I have stuff for just about every one of those, except for like the romantic leaks obsessed one.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, somebody might be tied to my curse or origin.
Oh, yeah. Tied to you becoming a ghost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
That sounds like it's something a demon could do, perhaps.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. So that, like maybe somebody made a deal with you and that's how I died.
Oh
no.
Do you know that his deal killed you, or do you not know?
Oh, I don't know.
Is it a secret connection?
I like to think that it was in like an insurance scandal too. Like, I need Bud to die so I can get his insurance money. So it was probably my ex-wife or my late wife.
Oh no.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Or reforming the ex-wife plot line.
It just needs to look like an accident.
Yeah.
So naturally my Trans Am exploded, and well, that's how I became a ghost. Honestly, not too upset about that. That was,
yeah.
If there was like ways I would want to go, that's in at least the top 10.
He died as he lived in the Trans Am.
And then I have one that's for Raj, which is the I saved you from one of my own kind, I think. Is that what we agreed on?
Yes, you saved me from it. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Well, we can just say one of my old adversaries from the lower pits of hell sent a quite particularly nasty spirit after me.
It was Evil Knievel. And you know he was evil because it's in his name.
Yeah.
Raj was just terrified of those jumps he was doing. They were.
Yeah.
I don't have a heart, but at that moment it was stopping.
They were too sick.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so now you get to partake in one of Raj's secret joys. Is I actually have a power what I need when I need it.
Awesome.
Nice.
And one thing that Raj always needs is a martini glass always filled.
Awesome.
With his there favorite gin based drink.
Nice.
Awesome. It's not how that works.
It's not practical for us, but it's practical for him. Oh no, and Raj cannot get drunk. He cannot get drunk. He's just like, it's like, this is how he pretends to be human, even though it's just poof, magic.
Yeah.
Well, you all can do this, right? I've seen Chris Angel. at Penn and Taylor. You're all secretly magic.
I like this concept of this being that has been around since the Tower of Babel and is still like, yeah, you guys can do this, right? I watch TV.
Yeah. I've totally seen you guys do some really crazy stuff. Like, this has got to be easy for you, right?
I've been around for a while.
Yeah.
So, I am going to take an alternate weird move, because I, as funny as it would be to have Bud doing magic stuff, I really think it fits more with the ghostness for him to have telekinesis.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I feel that.
Yeah, so he can get his haunt on.
I don't know if I want Bud. Oh, wait, no, telekinesis, thank God, not telepathy. I was like, no. I don't want Bud in my head. No.
That would not be...
Oh, one important thing I forgot to say is Raj is inhuman. He takes the form of a human, but his true shape... Do you guys know the real shape of what a cherub looks like?
Is that the one where it's a giant eye in the middle of, like, six wheels with...
That's a seraph.
Oh, okay.
The cherub is the lion with the human face.
Oh.
Oh.
That's his real form, is he is a cherub.
Oh, okay.
Specifically, he's from that layer of heaven. So he's from that order of angels.
Interesting.
So when he sees the artwork of the cherubs, that is just insulting, and I hate it. I am not a naked baby.
Oh, yeah, because it's not correct at all. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I am not a naked baby.
Has Bud ever seen your true form?
You know what? I would like to say Bud has seen it, and Bud made fun of it.
Oh, yeah. He probably see it, and it's just like, the Lord in heaven is going to be upset about this. Who was messing around with a lion? Also, I want to know this story, because... That sounds really awesome, man.
The minute that happened, Raj was just... really? Them? This is why I fell?
I'm not no chosen one. Don't look at me.
Oh, God.
I'm trying to pull up my copy of the book. I actually think it would probably make sense for my character to have an alternate weird move as well. I just... I'm having a hard time opening up my book.
Well, usually you take the two sides of it, and then you just split it in half.
Yeah. Not electronically. I'm trying to find it on my phone in, like, chats and stuff, because I'm not on my computer, so it's not saved where I expect it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay, I know how to do this now.
Yeah.
I know. I've got a new path, guys. You guys are getting a whole new experience.
I'm debating on taking an alternate weird move also. I'm kind of seeing what kind of lies out for everybody else before I decide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does anybody remember what page that's on of the core rulebook?
No.
Not in the core rulebook. Alternate weird moves are in Tome of Mysteries.
Oh, it's not. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Okay, that's why I wasn't finding it.
Yeah.
I feel dumb now.
I have a PDF of it, but...
I have a PDF of it as well. I just need to find it.
Yeah, it's Montau Tom.
Totally forgot about this, or I would have done it before we started.
Yeah, I always forget about alternate weird moves because I very rarely use them.
Yeah. Well, in our show, I play a magical creature, so it just makes sense for me to be able to do magic. Exactly. So I don't even think about it most of the time.
Yeah. I did want to ask this now. So one of the things I took for being a ghost is immortal.
Okay.
And whenever I suffer harm, I suffer one less. But with telekinesis, like, I automatically suffer one harm.
Mm.
Is that a problem, or...
I think, at least to me, how that works is... I think that the immortal doesn't affect telekinesis just because it's a matter of... Because you have the option... It's basically a way to make it so that if you want to do something, you get a mixed success. There's a cost for getting a mixed success because you have that option of not taking the harm.
Well, on the 7 to 9, I marked 2 harm.
Oh.
Yeah, even on a success with telekinesis, you still get fucked up.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that was an issue because, like, Journey had telekinesis.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, oh, yeah, this is your only combat thing. And it also is the thing that, like, is constantly hurting you.
Oh, and okay, all right, yeah.
But, and my argument on this is I'm taking one of, like, Monstrous only gets 2 moves when they start. And I'm using one of those.
Yeah, you are using a Monstrous move on that armor.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, I'll let it roll that it affects it then. So it's
okay. Cool.
Yep. Please excuse me. I forgot the rest.
Have fun.
I'm going to really quick while you're doing that, or while he's doing that, I'm going to go ask Suzanne if she knows where Tome of Mysteries is saved on her computer, because that'll save a lot of time. Sorry about that.
No worries.
Yeah, no, it's all right.
It's what Eddie's for.
When we get back into it, I did finally figure out my ultra weird move, so
There you go.
I should have realized it right off the bat, because I ended up going with trust your gut, which makes sense.
Mm.
I'm not very good at weird, though, so that's going to lead us into a lot of fun situations, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm not fantastic at weird either, but I am considering a different move for it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's going to be interesting. I've already rewritten the mystery based off of one person's character choice. Because it gives me a better lead into what's going on.
Ooh.
Okay.
You know, after hearing everybody's character, I am excited.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Everyone made some really...
Welcome back, Ray.
Yeah, so I think I was going to need an alternate weird move too, just because I don't think it makes sense for my character to be a magic user. So I ended up going with trust your gut. So I'm going to be trying to, you know, use my intuition to try and figure out where we should go next. But my weird is a negative one, so it probably won't go very well.
That could still be fun, though.
It could be a lot of fun, yeah.
A cartoon cat with a negative one in weird. How does this work? You think he would have all the weird?
Yeah, because in his world, he's not weird. He's just, he's normal, because everybody's an animal in his world.
Raj refuses to believe. He has to be magic.
Yeah. It's funny.
Oh, and Jason, you're picking a weird move, too?
I was thinking about it, and I think I'm just going to stick with use magic. Keep it simple.
Okay, all right. And now for the cold open. Kobe Roth was the cook for Goodman's Pizza in Irving, Texas. It was a hard day's work. The animatronics were a little creepy, especially the orange cat, and the ovens were not the best equipment. But he loved the looks on the children's faces every day he left at the end of the day shift. Jack, the security guard, was always there to greet him at the punch clock with a pun or two. It was good times. But that was daytime and work, and this was the night as he made his way across the local Walmart's parking lot with bags of groceries in each hand. He had fallen asleep right when he had gotten home that day, only lucky that the place was a 24-hour store. So focused had he been on his job this week, he hadn't refilled his fridge in time for the weekend. Joyce Goodman had been on site most of the week, always reminding her employees that it was the 20th anniversary of the establishment's open. He noted with some dismay after throwing his groceries in the back that it was around 2 a.m. Jack was probably on his lunch by now, he thought to himself. The urge to call a fellow night owl rose, then fell. He had enough to deal with in the darkness of Goodman's. He got into the car and turned his radio on for a few minutes, head bobbing as he tried to steel his nerve for the drive home. It was a movement that startled him first, a flash of purple that skeetered past his view in the back mirror. He blinked for a moment, looking around before cautiously getting out of the car. There have been reports of purple punks in hoodies in the area as hooligans up to no good. The last thing he wanted to do was to run into one with his car. The music of his radio rang out in the night as he called out, "Hello?" He took a few steps before hearing a metal clomp to his left in the direction of the car. As he turned toward it, his eyes widened in astonishment as he recognized the source of the sound. And sharp, inhuman scream cried out as he was tackled to the ground. Horrible, inhuman hands digging into his chest and stomach as the life flows freely from his form. The last thought on his mind as he slips from this earth is, it was only supposed to be a pizzeria. So, from your character's description, it sounds like you guys are at a very loaded van at the moment coming into town, isn't it?
Yeah.
I call shotgun.
Well, whose van are we driving? Is it gonna be my driver, or is it gonna be some other group van?
Yeah, because I think you're the only one with a playbook that has a car.
Okay, cool. So do you want me to maybe describe it a little bit?
Yeah.
So this van, on the front bumper, like right in the center, is this giant kind of like stylized cat's face, which is like the logo of like my gang of criminals, you know, that we were part of in the cartoon. Because this van came through the cartoon, like came through with us. So it's a cartoon van. It's not like a real, you know, van, if that's okay, if it's allowed for things to come through with us. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And my rhino driver, Larry, is driving it. He's a pink rhino, and he's driving for us. Bud, you could definitely have shotgun if you want. In the back, it's like one of those ones that are like all of our kind of like tech gizmos are in the back for when we pull heists and stuff. And there's a bunch of kind of bucket seats in the back for the rest of us. So the other like three hunters and then my other companion could be back there too. So there should be plenty of space. It's a pretty big van. And it's a cartoon. So I mean, like, you know, it's probably like a TARDIS, you know, it's bigger on the inside than it is on the outside because that's how cartoons work. So
yeah, there's a lavatory in the corner.
Yeah. And we have plenty of pizza too, because of course we're all fueled by pizza. So
I cannot believe I'm in the van.
Did you just see Raj hold out a hand? Boop, martini glass.
I don't think Wiley noticed when you're saying that you couldn't believe you were in there. He's probably kind of trying to watch up front and see where they're going up to. Trying to give Larry directions because Larry's a driver, but he doesn't always know where he's going. So sometimes he needs help.
As you approach the town of Irving, Texas, you've been informed that. Well, that reminds me, I need to give you guys the map. You guys would know that you've been set up at the local Motel 8. It's about a block or so from Goodman's Pizza. But you also guys know that the Goodman's Pizza from the debrief, you actually have a contact here. It's Jack Brown Eye. He is a victim of the narrative who has a strange curse that they found it's just better to put him in a pizzeria to just deal with things rather than have things appear out in the open.
Gotcha.
That's what you've been told. You just told he's sensitive and he's erratic.
Okay. That'll go well.
Oh, no. Well, is the Motel 8 like our base of operation?
It can be.
Okay.
It's
good. Good. Because I can imagine narratively they might be punishing us a little because of an incident with Raj a while ago. Bishop showed him Revenge of the Nerds and said that everyone acts like ogre.
Oh, no.
So when he went to the library, he was just picking people up going, Nerds!
I think Mercedes giving you a rag, a angry look in the car from her station in it.
Yeah.
She's one of the people got lifted up.
Yeah. She probably didn't take too kindly to that.
Raj just looks at Mercedes and is like, you know, it could have been worse. I could have given you the swirly. You ever been given a swirly by a cherub? Horrifying.
Well, yeah, it could have been worse. It could have been worse. I could have also shot you, so.
Just with hearing about being shot, Raj just leans over to Bishop and just goes, see, this is why she's there.
I know.
So are you guys going to sit up at the inn first, or do you want to take a look at the pizzeria?
I think Wiley would direct Larry to go park at the Motel 8 first and get us all checked in first, kind of set up the base of operations. Because those two, Larry and, well, definitely Mercedes. Mercedes would probably stay back in, like, the base of operations. She's kind of like the girl in the chair kind of person, so, yeah.
Okay. I think if you guys are getting into the hotel, give me a sharp roll.
Okay.
Anybody or everybody?
All of us are...
Yeah, this is a passive.
That's a 7 for me.
Yeah, that's a 9 on the dice.
I rolled a 4 on the dice with a +1, so that's a 5.
Awesome.
I got a 9.
All right, so mix that's okay. All around. Except okay. For our angel friend.
Poor Raj.
Raj, I think as you're looking around, you get you turn to walk over, and this guy walks by, and he steps on a puddle. He's in a hockey jersey, kind of round. And he splashes mud on your pants. He's huddled in the jacket, kind of has it closed. The rest of you, you're looking, you watch this kind of man walk by and go into a hotel room. You think for a moment, wait a second, is that Elton Henson from Mighty Ducks?
Hi. Wait, you mean that nerd from Daredevil?
I thought he was quite good, actually.
Oh, yeah, he was good. He was still a nerd.
Raj is going to walk up behind him, and I'm just going to tap him on the shoulder and go, now, son, I do believe you insulted my honor. I want to slap him. And Raj is gonna I want Raj to have like a white glove and do a glove slap.
Yeah.
And just go, I challenge you to a duel.
Classic.
Oh, this is going off the rails even faster than I thought.
You do not splash mud on Raj. You ruined his suit. Oh, and blatant view of him, Raj just does this. Now, son, I do believe now I need a new suit. And there's a new suit underneath. He just tosses the old one away.
Okay, I think this man turns to you for a moment with a grimace, and what do I want you to roll on this, Brian? I think this would be... Roll me a weird.
Ooh, this might go good. This might go good. I rolled 10 on the dice, and I have a plus 1, so that is an 11.
He kind of looks back to you, and you kind of get a weird feeling as an angel that you need to back off this. It's a tingling force you get from back up above, like someone, like, this person's on a mission.
Oh.
You're being told from up top, don't interfere with this man's mission.
You have a good day now, sir. And I'm like, with a little peck of my step.
He just nods and goes, sorry, sir, I just got a lot on my mind. He nods and he walks inside.
Now you just have Raj confused because it's like, no, son, I guess we have Froggy and a cartoon cat is going to save the universe. Looks over at Bishop. Y'all are doomed.
Did Wily hear that, or was he kind of saying that just to...
just a bishop.
Just a bishop. Okay. Yeah.
But he'll turn to Wily and just give him like a, I believe in you.
And Wily doesn't even notice. Like he was probably, you know, working on getting things out of the van and helping out and stuff, and just probably didn't even, like, he turns around, you're giving him the thumbs up, and he's just like nodding his head, like gives the thumbs up back.
Back to Bishop. Why couldn't we just, get Garp?
Oh, I have a really quick tangent that I need to share with everybody listening to this. I learned the other day that there is something called Garfield minus Garfield.
Yes.
And it is absolutely hilarious if you haven't seen it. It's great.
It's so, yes. So depressing, but so funny.
It's so depressing, it's so funny, because what they do is they took Garfield out and all of his lines, so it's literally just John walking into an empty room most of the time and talking to himself, and some of the stuff he says without any context is really funny.
Yeah. The same people who do that, if I'm not mistaken, also do this really good webcomic called Darths and Droids.
Okay.
And it's where they basically took stills from... all of the Star Wars movies, and they've made it into an RPG. And it's so cool. Funny.
That's funny. I like that.
Yeah, because they're like, what's a Jedi Knight? It's a type of cheese. It's good.
Yeah, that's good. That sounds like a lot of fun. Right. Sorry for the tangent. I just figured everybody would...
It's all good. Yeah, so I think you guys get set up pretty easily. Other than that, it's just, you know, just one strange guy there. Maybe it's a submarine. Maybe it's actually the guy from Mighty Ducks. You know that's very possible.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's Maybelline.
I think once Wily helps get, you know, his crew set up and, you know, he comes back out, he just says, so we all set to go?
Well, I was going to go grab some snacks out of the vendor machine, but...
I say, but, I've always wondered, how does, someone with your type of, condition, pointing at how he's a ghost, how exactly are you eating?
Oh, I just made a deal with a friend, and, he used his magic powers on me, and, now I can eat. I mean, it doesn't really, like, truly digest, I suppose, but, yeah, no, I can eat. It's pretty, it's mighty handy. Else, I mean, I would be in literal hell, because have you ever had a deep-fried Oreo? I would not live in afterlife without a deep-fried Oreo, or even having the option. Oh, don't get me started on Snickers on a stick.
Off in the background, Alexander is just, like, leaning in against the wall and, like, playing with the Kenny Griffith Jr. baseball card.
I think Larry immediately hides his deep fried Twinkie.
Yeah. Yeah, Larry would definitely commiserate with that. I think that I think Wily is just like, you get to at least taste everything too, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. That's, I mean, if you can't taste it, what's the point of eating?
That's what I was thinking too. That would be positively annoying.
Yeah, so I was actually kind of curious about that for you. How does that whole eating situation go with, you know, you all being animatronic and whatnot?
I think, like, he sees Larry eating, like, a real-world fried Twinkie, is what you said, right? And then, I mean, he's just consuming it, so Wiley just says, it seems to work just fine. I don't really know how it works, though.
We don't question it.
Yeah.
I would think as part of your background too, Wiley, or you know that the more people question it, it's like almost like an uncanny valley effect. The more people kind of tune it out.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
The more people question it, the more it kind of like it makes you feel weird.
Gotcha. Like the more people question the cartooniness, the more I feel weird in reality. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's kind of like.
Okay.
Oh my God! Never be on YouTube.
Yeah. Why?
Ooh, yeah, that would be bad.
Like, the video you upload the video, poof, gone from existence.
Your real arch nemesis is MatPat.
that would suck. You would go there and second guess everything about my existence, and I'm.
And in this video, I'll show you how he doesn't actually poop. But that's just a theory.
Yeah.
A gate.
I love it.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like it's how you get around is people just see it and they just decide they take a moment and just I'm not going to question it. I'm just going to deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I, of course, I didn't see that and just kind of move on kind of thing. I'm sure they do that, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
All right. So you guys are going to the pizzeria?
Yeah, I think we're going to go check in with our contact. Yeah.
All right, you guys got all in the van with Larry. Larry starts up the car and starts heading out, and you guys are driving a few blocks, and then you see Larry kind of squint as he looks off to the side and goes like, what the hell?
What do you see there, Larry?
Well, you gotta see this to believe this. And he points to a building that he's getting ready to turn into. And you see Goodman's Pizza, home of the Wily and Friend animatronics.
Yep. I think Wily's face just kind of just jaw drops. And he's just like, where did they get us from? What is this? And he's like kind of just confused.
Dungeons & Pop is a tabletop variety show. The campaign you are listening to is a ongoing one-shot reoccurring characters campaign using the Monster of the Week system.